Will you join me in prayer? Father God, you have seen us through a magnificent Advent and a wonderful Christmas. Thank you. For all of us are reminded of how much you love us. Now, as we continue in our Christmastide, the 12 days of Christmas, we ask your blessings upon us and your presence with us as we seek to worship you in this hour, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Amen. Please stand. Under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence is you come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Once again, let us bow in prayer together. Shall we pray? Gracious Lord, when we reflect upon you and your wondrous creation, when we reflect upon the Christ and his coming to earth, the way he did. When we reflect upon the joy and the beauty of how the world dresses up to celebrate Christmas, we are overwhelmed. So we come to you in praise and thanksgiving. We come adoring your most holy name and your blessed presence with us. But even as we reflect upon the beauty, the solemnity, and the absolute joy of Christmas, we are quick to confess that the world has many, many dark sides to it. There are so many places where the brightness of the Christ does not shine. Dear God, there is much within ourselves that we have not allowed the love of Jesus to shine into. So we have to confess our sins. We have to confess our complacency in allowing things to go on around us which do not in any way reflect Christ, nor witness to our great heritage as a nation, with our freedoms, with our joys, with our celebrations. So we confess to you, in the midst of the Christmas season, that there's still much work to be done. Work within ourselves and work with the world around us, in which we fully participate. We beseech you, O Lord, to help us. Help us become whole in your sight, and help us struggle with you to let everywhere be a place of praise and thanksgiving to Jesus. Lord, as we reflect upon other areas of the world, we find so much fear, so many things that frighten people as a whole. For the issues of terrorism, for the issues surrounding economic problems, for issues surrounding health and the well-being of those we love and care about, for all other issues that cause distress, we wish to pray and ask your guidance, ask your healing presence, and ask your overcoming the evil that surrounds us with the goodness of Jesus. Help us now as we confess our sin to you, our sins of commission as well as of omission. Hear our silent prayers. You have promised, O God, that if we confess and if we repent of our sins, you will forgive us. You will set us right before you and let us be new creatures every time we do this. So even as we make bold on the formula for receiving your forgiveness, we ask that you would indeed set us right before you, that we may enjoy our salvation to its fullest and its completeness. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Sleeps this night so cheap.
arms tender, arms enfolding, warm and safe, the child are holding. Still, still, still. He sleeps this night so
be children here? Our usual ones are somewhere else today. Yes, I see one. Would you like to come up? I have something to talk with you about. Okay.
Brother, you can come with her.
Yeah, brothers can come. Good deal. Yeah, that'd be a better way. We put our guests to work today, didn't we? Well, come on up. I'm glad to see you. And I have a question for both of you. Have you ever gotten separated from your mom and dad and you panicked? You said, where did they go? You know how that feels, do you? Do you panic? You're looking around, and you're kind of short, so you're looking right at everybody at their waist, and you can't see their faces, can you? That's not fun. Now, what was it like when you found them? Yes, where were you? That's exactly right. You got that right. Good job. Did you all realize that's how God feels when we run off? Now, he's able to know where we are, but we're the ones that are lost. And then we want to look back and say, God, where are you? Where'd you go? God, where are you? I need you. You know the feeling? Just remember that God feels the same way when we get lost. And always stay close to God. It's much better that way. Let's have a prayer. Dear God, thank you for being our Heavenly Father. Thank you for letting us be your family. Now bless us and let us stay very close with you always. Amen. Amen. And thanks for bringing Sister up. The scripture lesson today is found in two places of the New Testament. First of all, from St. Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, and then from Luke's gospel. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, close yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then from the Gospel, Luke 2, 41 to 52. Now every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. Amen. And here end these readings from God's most holy word. Now this is tea, and that's all that's in it, okay? Our hymn is "We Would See Jesus." We'll stand as we sing.
Thank you.
Well, it's been some time since I've preached. Of course, the other night we had the candlelight communion. That was a special time. But I apologize for being sick. As you can tell, I'm still a little bit croupy. The only good thing, I suppose, that came from my not being able to talk was that Virginia had a break. But many people have come down with this, as you probably know, and I know some of you have also wrestled with it. I have indeed been to the doctor, and she shot my bottom with a steroid, and she gave me huge penicillin tablets, and also a cough syrup, which actually has a narcotic in it. So now that was interesting, because instead of them phoning the prescription in, I said, no, the government says it must be hard copy, and you must present it to the pharmacist. So I dutifully did, and I am doing really much better. I just don't sound like it at the moment. But since my job uses the voice, I hope that you will bear with me, and we'll see where we go with the sermon. So let us bow in prayer. Lord, be present with us during the preaching and the hearing of this sermon. And may your word for our day and the times in which we live be heard among these words and our reflections. Amen. Many, many years ago, when our 40-year-old son was just a very small little tyke, Virginia and I took him to the Outer Banks. We knew that they had ferocious waves at that particular beach, but we were enjoying it, and the waves were coming very strongly. And all of a sudden, there was one that went whoosh. It knocked Virginia and me over. And we said, oh my goodness, where's Sean? We panicked. Being nearsighted, I could hardly see anything, especially with salt water in my eye sockets. So eventually, things cleared, and there he was. He was pushed in closer to the bank. And he was rubbing his eyes, and I knew it was he because of the certain way that he rubbed his eyes. Whew! You talk about relief. Now, as our young people mentioned in the children's address, all of us know what that's like. Suddenly, to be separated from people we know, from people we're acquainted with, people we love, family. We know that feeling. And we know it happens rather frequently, because if we go to Walmart, and I believe that's the place where most Rockwoodians meet, isn't it? Walmart. Every now and then we hear across the PA system, would the parents of such and such please come to the station? That means someone's been separated, you see. Happens at grocery stores. So we know about the business of separation. It's all too comforting to recognize that Mary and Joseph had the same feeling of separation. They took Jesus to the temple at Passover. He wasn't but 12. And then they started back. Perhaps they went as a whole village would go, much like many are going to the Outback Bowl next weekend. Do we need to take names as to who won't be here next week? I know of two right there. And you can't come back unless you win. I'm cutting up with you. But you see, people go in tandem to these places. And it's all part of a fellowship time. It was in our Lord's time. And I can easily conceive that the village of Nazareth just simply started walking to Jerusalem. You had extended family members, and the kids played together. Now they're on their way back. Mary and Joseph think nothing of Jesus not being with them at that spot. But evening came. Hey, Anybody seen Jesus? Anybody? Yeah, I saw him. Yeah, he was down there with us. Yeah, we know he got there, but I mean on the way back. They were panicked. Finally, third day of looking, they found him in the temple. There was quite a group of people there. The great doctors of the law. Now, what's interesting, what's really interesting is we know who some of those doctors of the law were. We being the community who studies extra-biblical material, who were the leaders of the Jewish religion at that time. And we have a whole list of them here. Hillel, who was quite a scholar. Shammai, that's his opposite. They would debate the scriptures. Gamaliel, who was the master for Saul of Tarsus. We find him in the Acts. Jonathan compiled the Chaldean paraphrase. There was Simeon. There was also Nicodemus, who in John's gospel sought Jesus out to discuss things with. Many, if not all of these people, were hearing Jesus as a 12-year-old. Now, all of us have met people like this. Virginia and I had a grand time with the Stubbs family on Christmas Day. Beth and Thomas and Tony, we went to see Star Wars. Now, that is a cultural must. You are not an American unless you see Star Wars. And you cannot talk to this generation unless you hook up 30 years of time past and watch how those stars have morphed into time's present. It's, let's just say, interesting to see the comparison. Now, Thomas is a prodigy. He knows so much. He's an amazing individual. He can read a book and tell you all about it. I knew more about Star Wars listening to Thomas than I ever knew was put down. He studied it. He knew what was happening. And he could recite it from memory, because he was into it. When I think of Thomas and how he just gathers this information, whether it's important or not, who knows, it doesn't matter. He's got it, and he will tell you whether you've asked or not. You have met people like that. Of course you have. It's wonderful. I can imagine Jesus is much like this, and he was amazing these people who were scholars with his questions, and then they would ask him questions, and then they were amazed with his answers. All of this going on. All of a sudden, Mary and Joseph, they storm into the conversation. Where have you been? Well, you know the feeling that we all feel when you find somebody you've lost. Where have you been? Why have you treated us this way? Why is it that you're looking for me? Don't you know that I must be in my Father's house and about my Father's business? Now, what we see happening here is something that's usual and normal. Jesus is shifting his allegiance from his parents and moving them to his ultimate destiny, which is following God. Whatever God wants. Jesus is being drawn away from Mary and Joseph, the work of a carpenter, to doing the work of God. This is what it's going to be like. And Jesus said to them, "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Now that word "must" is of critical importance here. Luke finds "must" as Jesus' verb in several other places in his gospel. It is the necessity, the special calling. You have got to do this. Other places of Luke's gospel, I must preach the good news. The Son of Man must suffer many things. I must go on my way today and tomorrow. The Passover lamb must be sacrificed. Must. This is in a response to calling. All of us, I would suggest, have been called to the different professions that we are in the middle of or from which we've retired. You know how it is. You've got to get it done. You must get it done. My sister is a musician. She studied organ under Marilyn Mason at the University of Michigan. She taught her dissertation, all of that. Music has to do with that discipline. Sister's older than I, but do you think she's quit giving lectures about Stradella, a pre-Bach composer? Do you think she's quit reading from the Italian and translating it to the English? Not at all. It's that she's called and she must do this. That's what happens when we're called. We must do it. And Jesus was called when he was baptized. That was when he came to get things done publicly. Mary and Joseph virtually disappear, except for one or two occasions. But this is the hint of what is going to happen when Jesus responds fully to the call. Now Luke goes on, and he points out that Jesus left with Mary and went back to Nazareth, and he obeyed them. He did what he was told. But then there's a verse which is always etched in my mind and heart, and very familiar to you, I'm certain. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Luke 2:52. If you ever want to remember one verse which deals with Christian living, you find it. The balance, wisdom, stature, in favor with God, in favor with humankind. All of that is our assignment. Notice the word increased. In the Greek, it would be better translated, he kept advancing. He kept advancing. And in the Greek, the people who use that word liken it to a pioneer cutting trees. And we have that metaphor in our own history. The pioneers like Daniel Boone cutting away across the wilderness, keeping moving, clearing out, pushing forward. That's what increased means in Greek. But we have the balance that goes on between all four of the human potential aspects. Wisdom. Keep learning. Don't just quit because you're comfortable. Keep learning is what this verse points out. Read, listen, go on your smartphones, your computers, pick a subject, become informed, get your RSS feed so that it lets you know when something is new. Keep it going. Increase in wisdom. In stature. Now, this is very important, obviously. All of us have to work on our physical being. And here's some free advertisement for Jane. She has just come into a possession of a gym. Right, Jane? Now, that's an invitation which she didn't ask me to make. But here we have a gym close to us. And all of us need to use these muscles. The latest I have read is 150 minutes a week. will do amazing things for our health. 150 minutes a week of exercise and 20 to 30 minutes of that being very intensive. So if we want to take the scriptures seriously and do what Jesus did, increase in knowledge, our chosen subjects, certainly knowledge about God, increase in stature, take care of these physical bodies that we have, also in favor with God. Now we're talking about our prayer life. Do you and I pray enough? You know, there are many kinds of prayer. One kind is inspiration. Do you and I have enough quiet time where we simply do nothing but be still and know that I am God, says the Lord? Inspiration, also reading. Do we read the scriptures? Do we study them? Out in the hallway right over there, there are little booklets I asked Wanda to set up for us. I'm challenging you. I'm challenging you with me to read the Bible in its completeness throughout 2016. Here's our guide. And I will tell you, I'm 98% finished with reading the Bible this year. I have only the Revelation and also John 1, 2, and 3 in the New Testament. 98%. I'm glad I put myself through the discipline. Every time I read the scriptures, I learn something. I learn how to be and to become closer to God. So that's a challenge. Pick one of these up. See if you can do it. Those of you who do it already, read the Bible every day, keep it up. That's favor with God. And then favor with man or all of humanity. That now is best described in Paul's passage that I read earlier. Want to have favor with humanity? Order our lives like this, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. You see, Luke 2:52 is a formula that Jesus used, according to Luke, that Jesus used to increase, to continue expanding as a person. And we, you and I, have the chance this coming year, indeed every day, to use the same formula Jesus used to expand, to grow in all the important directions with God. Of course, the alternative is separation. Separation from God, or becoming distorted when we've pushed one or more of those four potential that we have. When we do not have the balance, we become estranged. We need to work on something. And we need to change something. So what ones of us get down every now and then? Just simply so worn out with life. We just want to quit. That means that we need to adjust something in the formula to get balance once again. That is a good way for God to deal with and to help us with our soul. May God bless all of us as we close out 2015 and begin yet another year. Oh, 2016 will be exciting, won't it? There are all kinds of things out there, ready and willing to fill our minds and hearts with challenges. Remember who we are. We follow Jesus. Remember not to be separated from God or family or those whom we love. And remember to keep that balance, for Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and humankind. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now to the time of giving and receiving of tithes and offerings. Let the ushers come. Thank you. Accept, O Lord, this money, your tithe and our offering. Use it to further your work through this congregation and this congregation's ministry and mission for Christ throughout the world. Amen. The hymn is Go Tell It on the Mountain. There may be those individuals who would like to unite in the fellowship of the church. Please come forward as we sing this hymn together. Wonderful occasion to have so many persons come back who usually are members who have used to be members of the church to take their place right at the organ or piano to come back and to share. So it's fun to have you here, to have our guest acolyte. That's been special as well. Good job. Now will you receive the blessing? In peace, in joy, go forth, people of God. Enjoy your salvation to its completeness. And let the Lord lead us all as we close this year and begin another one together. Go in peace.
Go now in peace. Go now in peace.